right on the corner. A great pitch from Jay Schuler. Now an 0-1 count with two away, and the base is loaded. Rafters down 5. You need to make something happen here, it feels like. 0-1 count right there, called for strike number 2. Barker down to his last strike here in the 7th inning. Schuler trying to get out of the inning without further damage. He already has one complete inning after coming in for the final out of the 6th. Trying to stay scoreless on his line, though. 0-2 count. Pitch on the way home. It's outside to bring it 1-2. I feel like you see that a lot, though, on 0-2 counts. A lot of times, pitchers get a little anxious for it, and they miss that pitch. But also, not just that, they're trying to locate their best spot, which a lot of times is a little more aggressive, more risky. 1-2 the count for Eric Parker. Andre Madunio on deck, and he's been dangerous today, so you really want to get it to him. 1-2 count, grounder down the third baseline, but foul just past Chris Diaz, who is running down the line. So still a 1-2 count. And Parker's last time up, he grounded into a 5-3 double play back in the 6th inning. Did send a run home, but it wasn't an RBI. Popped out to shortstop back in the 5th. And he grounded out to first base unassisted in the 1st inning. Has a 1-2 count here. Schuler taking plenty of time, and you see him, a relately slow pitcher. This one's hit down the third baseline, picked up over there, and he will step on the bag himself in time for out number 3. So the Rafters, they load the bases, but no runs on the one hit, one error, and 3 left on. They've stranded the bases loaded in each of the last 2 innings, and it's a 5-run ball game heading into the bottom of the 7th here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Score special rebates on a new AC this summer at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Right now, you can upgrade to a brand new Bryant air conditioner and get up to $1,650 in rebates and rewards on qualifying models. Comfort Air has done whatever it takes to keep your friends and neighbors nice and cool for more than 25 years, and they can do the same for you.
Hurry! This offer is good until the end of June. Get started now by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
New pitcher for the Rafters, it's Cannon Restine as he takes over for Jafet Martinez after Martinez ended up recording 2 outs to get out of the 6th inning, but still 13 runs came across for the Madison Space Cows in the bottom of the 6th inning, so they nearly batted around twice. However, they are going to be seeing Liam Moreno lead off in the 7th inning, and first pitch is a ball to bring the count 1-0, and Moreno up to the plate for the 5th time today. 0-2 as he drew a walk his last time up with the bases loaded. That pitch misses outside to bring it 2-0, and Restine relieves Martinez after Martinez finished off that sixth inning. Like I had mentioned, he faced a total of six batters over his time there. And, well, his final line, two-thirds of an inning, as that pitch misses for ball number three. 3-0 count. We'll finish off his line after this. 3-0 count, base is empty, and the pitch is right in there for strike number one. Make it 3-1 to Moreno. Martinez finished the game with two-thirds of an inning, three runs allowed, none were earned on two hits, three walks, no strikeouts, no hit batters, no wild pitches, six batters faced on 16 pitches. That one misses low and away. Ball number four in a leadoff walk for the Space Cows, and it brings up the guy who hit the grand slam back in the sixth inning, Mikey Bell. And Mikey Bell is going to be going into the Rafters Hall of Nightmares. And Ziggy going out here to talk with Restine already. And Restine seems like he's pointing at his finger right now. Something hurt with him. No trainers coming out, though. And it's just a talk with him and Ziggy. So runner on first base after the first batter saw a five-pitch walk. And Ziggy just having a chat with him. And looks like there's going to be a call to the bullpen here. Brent Gallegos was warming up down there. And it looks like he's already going to be getting the call here. So Restine pitched just one batter, and that means that Brent Gallegos comes out here. So Gallegos takes over. He's the sixth pitcher of the game used by the Rafters and a two-way player who's seen a little bit of use in the field at the start of the year, but more recently just kind of used as a pinch runner and a pinch hitter in certain situations. So Restine, his afternoon is over. He did not pitch a complete inning. No hits, no runs at this moment. He did walk one batter, no strikeouts, no hit batters, no balks, no wild pitches, and he pitched a total of one batter on five pitches. So that's the final line for Cannon Restine and Brent Gallegos coming into the game here. His last time up, not too bad. Was able to finish off the game against Traverse City, going two innings, and Gallegos, he's had his up and downs, but back in game two, he went two innings, allowed just one run on two hits with one walk, also struck out one batter, and he's had a couple of pretty good outings. He pitched two scoreless innings back on June 4th against Fond du Lac, but on the road, hasn't had quite as much success. So that's kind of what you're looking at right now for Gallegos, is hoping to get the momentum away from Witter Field. On the season, Gallegos, a 10.13 ERA over eight innings pitched. He's had six appearances. This is his seventh. No starts for him on the season, and it's a 13-8 ball game, and the Rafters are still in it, but it's going to take a lot. And you need to really shut out Madison the rest of the way to have a real shot. And Gallegos this season, I mean, you look at his last five games, he's been relatively good. It was really that first appearance back on May 29th that kind of got to him. And on the road, though, he has really struggled. He's pitched two of his six games on the road, and in his games at home, he has allowed just two runs over six innings. Both of them were earned. But on the road, he's pitched just two innings and allowed nine runs. Seven of them were earned. So a big difference from him, and he's really looking to bring it back down here at Madison. But it's a tough one, as he'll be going up against Mikey Bell, who had the grand slam earlier. Bell, a right-handed hitting third baseman for the Space Cows. He's got a runner on first base with nobody out in the bottom of the seventh inning. 13-8, Madison leads, and Gallegos first pitch is a wild one, gets away to the right side and bounces all the way back up, halfway up the first baseline, picked up by Madden Akko. So a wild pitch sends Liam Moreno over to second base. A 1-0 count now as Mikey Bell sits 2-for-4 on the game. His last time up was that grand slam in the sixth inning. He went 2-for-2 in the sixth inning, and this is a swing and a miss to bring it 1-1. Earlier in the sixth, he had a single that he came around to score on. But earlier in the game, a fielder's choice in the third and a strikeout looking in the first. And this all comes after Drew Thompson's great start. I mean, he went 4 shutout innings against a tough Madison team. Not able to keep it up as the 1-1 count is fouled back. Brings it 1-2. And Rafters' bullpen struggling here. But in general, that hasn't always been the case. In this season, the bullpen actually outperforming the starters, especially in terms of ERA and runners allowed. Pitch coming home. It misses low to Bell and gets a little bit away from Adrian, but he's able to scurry over to it to pick it up and keep the runner on second base. And as I mentioned on the year, an 8.32 ERA for starters, but a 6.23 for the bullpen. It's going to change a little bit here. And pitch here is sent high in the air down the right field line and out of play as count remains 2-2. And Mikey Bell, guy from Gonzaga University, batting .459 on the season. In about the last week, he checks his swing and the defer is called a swing, so strike 3 on Bell, and that's the first out of the seventh inning. A big one as that keeps the runner on second base. And it brings up Carson Hansen with the runner on second and one out in the bottom of the seventh. 13-8 the score, and Brent Gallegos trying to work through it. It's the strikeout there. Runner taking off from second. It's a fly ball down the left field line. Clayton running over to it. He'll make the catch, try and throw it back to second. The throw is a little off the base, but wouldn't have been in time either way, and Parker's able to grab it. So it's a fly out from Carson Hansen. F7 in the books on the first play, and two up, two down for the right-hander, Brent Gallegos. Brings up Brock Lulowitz with two outs, runner on second. Here in the bottom of the seventh, Gallegos looking good so far. Will bring home the pitch, but misses outside. And well, that was the case with Jack Obrasky as well. I mean, Obrasky had a shutout first inning of work, and he kept the runner that he inherited on, but second inning is kind of when the clock struck midnight for him. 1-0 count. This one is crushed down the right field line, but well out of play. 1-1 count. And so you never know when things could turn sideways. But in my opinion, it's always great to celebrate our successes when we see them. So far, Gallegos has been a success. 1-1 count is in there for strike number 2. And count now 1-2. And runner taking off for third base as well. And so he is over there and now 90 feet away. It's a stolen base for Liam Moreno. Well, officially it goes down as a wild pitch. And this one is a grounder hit high up the middle towards Parker. Parker grabs it and he airmails it towards the Rafters dugout. It goes all the way into the netting, which means that I believe that the runner is going to move over to second base. We'll see. Maybe he'll stay there. It kind of bounced back behind the netting. And, yeah, they're going to send him over to second. So E6 on the play. Brock Lulowitz over to second base. And coming home to score was Liam Moreno. And it brings up Cole Kosciuszko with a runner on second base and two outs in the bottom of the seventh. It's 14-8, the pitch coming in, and it misses low for for ball number one. It's a 1-0 count. And Kosciuszko, he has reached all four times up at the plate so far, looking to make it 5-for-5. He's 1-for-1 in the game, though, only one hit. He's walked twice and was hit by a pitch once as that one misses outside to bring it 2-0. Kosciuszko, the left-handed hitting first baseman. It's 14-8, Madison in the bottom of the seventh. And this one is hit high in the air towards shallow center field. Parker trailing out to it. And Clayton is going to be there but can't pick it up. Runner trying to take off for second, and they got him. Question is whether or not the run came home to score. They say that he did score before the tag was applied. So another run comes around to score on the dropped ball in between left and short. And the run there makes it 15-8. As Brock Lulowitz came around to score. So it's now a 15-8 ball game as we hit the top of the eighth inning here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
And the Rafters back up to the plate here, hoping to do some damage, but they're down 7 runs. It's 15-8 in the bottom of the 7th inning, and Rafters got to get things going, but it's going to be tough to do so as they take on the Madison Space Cows today. The alter ego is always fun to get to watch out there, and either way, it's one that the Space Cows have been performing well in. They've got the lead 15-8, top of the eighth inning, and the Rafters, Andre Madunio, Royce Clayton Jr., and Hiroto Kobayashi do up as Madunio swings and misses at the first pitch to bring it 0-1. And Madunio, right-handed hitting DH, he is 1-for-2 in the game today. He was hit by a pitch his last time up. 0-1 count is there for strike number 2, an 0-2 count. And before that hit by pitch, Madunio had that 3 RBI bases clearing double in the 5th inning. He's reached his last 3 times up, but readjusting here as he gets set. And no time called, and now back in, ready to go, Andre Madunio from the University of Alabama. He also drew a walk earlier in the game in the 3rd inning. That pitch a little low for ball number 1 brings the count 1-2. Madunio flew out to center field back in the 2nd inning. That's the one time he's been retired. That was his first plate appearance. He's been feeling pretty good since then. 1-2 count on the way. And it's a swing and a miss and strike number 3. And that's the first out of the 8th inning. Rafters Still down 7 runs, but hoping to turn it around. It's going to take a lot, and we know that, but Royce Clayton Jr. up to the plate here, hoping to get some sort of rally started. Kind of aiming for 3 runs here, 4 runs next inning, maybe a mix of that gives you a chance, but that's being optimistic as the first pitch misses low for ball number one. Either way, the Rafters will have another chance for a win later tonight. They'll be taking on Madison once again in game number 2. Here's a liner on the ground over to second base, and it takes him off the bag, but he couldn't quite step back on as the first baseman was taken off. A rough throw over there from second as it kind of took Kosciuszko off. He tried to reach out the legs and touch the base before Clayton got there, but couldn't quite do it. His legs weren't there. He had gone a little too far off the bag for him to reach. So now a runner on first base with one out in the top of the 8th inning. 15-8 Madison. Here's a grounder over toward short. Could be 2. 6-4-3 double play, and that does it for the 8th inning. So the Rafters go down 3 up, 3 down, and they score no runs, no hits, one error, and nobody left on base. It's 15-8 heading into the bottom of the 8th here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I could just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Well, back in the 7th inning, 2 runs came across on 1 hit. There was 1 error, and there was nobody left on base in that 7th inning. That made it 15-8. Top of the 8th comes around, and the Rafters go 3 up, 3 down, strikeout, error, and double play ends the inning. And so now we are into the bottom of the 8th, 15-8. And the leadoff batter for the Space Cows is Noah Sheffield. Madison hosting the Rafters for 2 games today. 3 games in a row. The game last night went the way of the Mallards, and well, now the alter ego Space Cows taking over, and it took them a little bit to get out of hibernation, and I think that's what it was. They took some sleep in their space shuttles. Space Cows, we're going to say that. Yeah, they had a UFO. They were sleeping in the UFO. They woke up a little bit late to the game, but they realized, hey, we're down 8-0, bottom of the 6th inning, come around and score 13. So up 15-8 here, and on the mound for the Rafters, still Brent Gallegos trying to finish it off, and he didn't have too bad of a 7th inning, as this pitch is a little low to bring the count 3-0 to Sheffield. Sheffield up at the plate for the 5th time today. He's 2-for-4, doubled back in the 6th inning. He's got 3 RBIs. His last time up was that RBI single in the 6th as well. This pitch is in there for a strike, makes it a 3-1 count. Sheffield, Tyler Smith, and Cooper Malamazian do up this inning for Madison. That pitch just a smidge. It's on that lower inside edge of the strike zone. And, well, that was a late call from home plate umpire Nick Reynolds, but gets it out eventually, only once Noah Sheffield was halfway down the first baseline. So a 3-2 count. And Brent Gallegos, right-hander, it's a righty-righty matchup. 3-2 count, this time it's high, and now Sheffield will walk on down to first base, and he's sure about it. His third time on today, and it brings up Tyler Smith, who's reached all four times. However, he doesn't have a hit, and he's 0-for-1. He reached on an error back in the sixth inning. So this is his fifth plate appearance, but 0-for-1 in the game with three walks. Also has scored two runs. Has a runner on first ahead of him. Nobody out on a pickoff attempt back to first. This one goes into the netting, and so the runner is taking off for second base. It's an E1 on the throw there as Sheffield will advance into scoring position. And Tyler Smith now has a runner on second with nobody out. You're in the bottom of the eighth inning. Still a 7-run Madison lead. They're looking to keep it there. Gallegos on the mound. He will bring it home, and it misses inside. Nearly gets away from Adrian, but he's able to dive to it and make it a 1-0 count. On deck, Cooper Malamazian. But Gallegos looking to give him at least one out when he comes up to the plate. Smith from North Carolina A&T. This one is fouled down the first base line and out of play. 1-1 the count. Smith, the left-handed hitting catcher for the Space Cows. It's a lefty-righty matchup. 1-1 count. And Gallegos hoping to find his spots. He fires here. It's hit towards center field. Diaz is there. Not much movement from him, and he'll make the catch on the fly ball for out number one. So that's a good out for the Rafters. Helps them get back to Cooper Malamazian as he will bat with one out and a runner on second base. Bottom of the eighth inning, and Malamazian, the right-handed hitting shortstop for the Mallards. First pitch to him is going to hit him in the back. So a hit batter for Gallegos. It's first time that he's hit a batter today. It's the seventh batter that he's seen today. He came in to relieve Cannon Restine back in that seventh inning. Struck out the first batter he saw, then induced a fly out to left. Had an error that could have ended the inning, but instead it resulted in a run scoring, and then a single from Cole Kosciuszko. And that also sent home another run. However, ended with Kosciuszko being stuck between first and second. And this inning, it was a walk to lead it off, a fly out. This one is hit well towards right field on the run. Kobayashi, he's under it, and he'll make the catch, but the runner advancing from second to third. So it does move one of them. But that's out number two. That's what you needed. Was on the 0-1 count as well, and now it brings up Liam Moreno to the plate with two outs and runners on the corners. So a good spot here is on first base, it's Cooper Malamazian. On third, Noah Sheffield, and I say good spot is, well, it could have been a lot worse with runners on first and second and only the one out. This pitch in there for a strike. As it goes to an 0-1 count. And Liam Moreno has walked three times this game. Gallegos taking his time. It's a righty-righty matchup. Pitch on the way home. It is a smidge low for ball number one. Brings the count 1-1. And Moreno, his headshot on the scoreboard is a cow. It's a bull, actually. That one misses outside for ball number two, 2-1 count. And of course, that's for Space Cows. That's their alter ego today. And so Moreno, he's in the shape of a human at the plate, but on the scoreboard, that's his true identity, a bull. Just got to have fun with it at this point. 2-1 count, gets a swing and an off-balance miss from Liam Moreno to bring it 2-2. Two outs here in the bottom of the eighth inning, and Gallegos looking for the first shutout inning since the fifth. 2-2 count on the way, needs a strike, and he gets it. Called strike three, put him in the books backwards, and that does it for the eighth. No runs there on no hits. There was an error, but two left on base. It's 15-8 heading into the ninth. Rafters got to score five runs. We'll see if they can when we return on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/actnow.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ag Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Rafters have three outs left here in game number one on what is now a warm Friday turning evening. I'm in the area where I'm uncertain whether to call it afternoon or evening. I think the cutoff for me is usually 5 o'clock. I start saying evening, and 7 o'clock I say night. But I don't know what I do between 4 and 5 o'clock, as that one's in there for strike number one. So we're going to go with a mix of words. We're going to say afternoon, creating up words on the broadcast. 0-1 count is hit towards right field by Adrian, and he leads off with a hit here and starts the Rafters going in the top of the ninth inning. They're down 15-8. They need to score seven runs to come back, and they've got three outs to do it, but if you're going to, got to start off with a runner on base, and so Nick Adrian, leadoff single, and it brings up J.J. Garcia to the plate with the runner on first. And first pitch to Garcia is a swing and a miss for strike number one. Garcia, the right-handed hitting third baseman for the Rafters. It's a righty-righty matchup. Pitch on the way. It's outside for ball number one. 1-1 count. The Rafters hoping to get themselves some momentum heading into the second game of the doubleheader, if nothing else. 1-1 count drops in there for strike number two. It's now 1-2. Garcia, he is 0-3 in the game today. His last time up, grounded out 5-3 on the putout. He drew a walk in the sixth inning, though, and came around to score. 1-2 count, hit up the middle, and it gets on by into center field. So back-to-back singles for the Rafters have two men on with nobody out in the top of the ninth. And let's stay optimistic here. That means the tying runner is three batters away. All right. So just start the countdown here, and back to the top of the order, Chris Diaz up at the plate. And Diaz, well, he's reached all five times he's been up so far, as here's a swing and a miss. Brings the count 0-1, and Diaz, man, he has been good today. He has scored three of his five times on base. He's got three hits, looking to make it four with runners on first and second. The 0-1 count misses inside to bring it 1-1. Diaz, the leadoff man in the order, he'll be followed by Mason Oñate, who's reached each of his last four times. So this is a great duo to have. You want to give yourselves at least a couple of runs, as this one is fouled back, but just because they're up doesn't mean that those runs are going to come across. They still got to keep stepping up to the plate, give the fans a reason to invest. Runners on first and second. 1-2 count, left-hander Diaz. It's a lefty-righty matchup. Pitch coming home, and it's a swing and a miss. First strike number three. So first out of the ninth inning brings up Mason Oñate to the plate. That's the first time that Chris Diaz was retired all game long. So he went 3-for-4 in the game with a pair of walks, three runs scored. He also had an RBI. Not a bad game from Chris Diaz. Mason Oñate looking for a good game himself. First pitch is outside for ball number one, but Oñate 2-for-3 on the game. Only one RBI, two runs scored. Looking at those numbers, not bad, but you want a good game, right? Sent home another runner, 1-0 count. It's high for ball number two, a 2-0 count. And well, obviously, you know, stats are kind of arbitrary when it comes to winning. However, it's always more fun to just get to say, you know, hey, knocked in two runs. I scored three runs. Sounds better. 2-0 count, hit to the left side of the field, and that gets on by into the outfield for a single as Nick Adrian is over to third base, but he kind of hit the bag and went down. It looked like he might have pulled something on the way over there. I'm going to hope that he's okay, but he was walking very gingerly across the bag. Bases are loaded, and Ziggy is talking with Adrian. He's back up. Looks like he's all right there, but, well, no. It looks like a pinch runner is actually going to be coming here. And so Nick Adrian walking slowly over there at third base and gingerly, and he will be coming off of the field for a pinch runner, as it looks like Jack Guerrero will come in for Adrian. Guerrero not a catcher, but doesn't want to use up another one, and we'll make the substitution if it gets to the bottom of the ninth. Three hits in the top of the ninth for the Rafters. This is on Caden Baker. Caden Baker, I never mentioned it, he came in last inning, and he had that three up, three down frame. Not quite the same luck here, though. The Rafters starting to see him a little bit better. There is one out, and the base is loaded, and the first pitch to Madden Akko was outside for ball number one, and Akko 0-for-1, 0-for-2 in the game. His last time up, he hit a grounder that an error was made on over at third base. That pitch, a swing and a miss to bring the count 1-1. Prior to that, Akko had walked back-to-back times in the fifth and sixth innings. 1-1 count, sent down the first base line, but foul. Count moves to 1-2. And Akko earlier in the third inning had a sacrifice bunt to move the runners ahead. And then in the first inning, it was a 6-3 ground out. That's the game for Akko. This is his sixth plate appearance. 1-2 count. It's low and blocked behind the dish by Tyler Smith to keep that runner on third. Count now 2-2. Rafters down 15-8 in the top of the ninth, but they do have the bases loaded. So there is a glimmer of hope right now, but still got to put things together. Long ways to go. 2-2 count in the righty-righty matchup, and this one's hit towards shallow right field, but not enough, and it will score one run. Sacrifice fly in right field as both the runner on second and third advance. So Jack Guerrero comes home to score on the fly ball from Madden Akko. But now there is two outs here in the top of the ninth inning. Last man up, potentially. Raptors down to their last out. It's Eric Parker. Parker going to try and keep the game going along. As a runner on first and third, Mason Onyade is over on first. On third, it's J.J. Garcia. And Parker, the right-handed hitting shortstop, watches the first pitch miss low for ball number one. Parker, righty-righty matchup. He is 1-for-5 on the game. His last time out, grounded into a fielder's choice. 1-0 count coming home, and it's in there for strike number one. And well, with Mason Onyade over on first, I would say, you know, hey, this is a good opportunity to steal a base. But with two outs and game on the line, it's not a likely opportunity. Not really going to do much. 1-1 count here. It's on the outside corner for strike number two. Parker shakes his head. No strikeouts in the game for him so far, but 1-for-5 in the game. He's put four into play that he's been retired on. Final strike here for the Raptors, down six in the ninth inning. Pitch is a swing and a miss from Parker, and that will do it. So the Raptors have a final score as it is 15-9. They can't win despite the 8-0 lead earlier in the game. Madison storms all the way back in that 13-run sixth inning. It will be long in the minds of Raptors fans. Once again, final score 15-9. And so with that, we are going to go ahead and hit a quick break. And when we come back, post-game report comes up next here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you decide, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Well, hello and welcome back into the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, and the Rafters, well, it wasn't a good news Friday afternoon. And, well, the evening coming up in a little bit, but we've still got a little bit of time before game number two begins. 6:35 is when first pitch is scheduled for, but looking back at this first game, it was a rough one. Final score 15-9. Madison got the win. And looking back on the way that it happened, man, let's recap it inning by inning, because I think that's the only way to kind of go through it properly. Through the first two innings, it was tied 0-0. It was a pitcher's duel as Drew Thompson was going up against Charlie O'Shell. But in the third inning, the Rafters finally got to O'Shell. They scored two runs on him thanks to the two RBI single from Eric Parker. That made it a 2-0 Rafters lead. Drew Thompson would go through four innings not allowing a run, and O'Shell was pulled to start the fourth inning. Cade Dernan came in, and after he went 3-up, 3-down in the fourth, top of the fifth comes around, the Rafters put on another three runs. It was a bases-clearing three RBI double from Andre Madunio in the top of the fifth off of Dernan, made it 5-0 Rafters. Bottom of the fifth comes around, Thompson goes out there and says, hey, you get one base runner, and if you allow them, then you're coming out of the game. Well, he walked the first runner, and so that pulled Thompson after just four innings of work. But Jack Obraski comes in. He goes 3-up, 3-down the rest of the way and keeps that runner from scoring. So still, it's 5-0 heading into the sixth. Top of the sixth comes around. The Rafters offense keeps rolling. They see all nine batters step up to the plate, and they score three runs in the inning. An RBI single from Chris Diaz and from Mason Onyade. And along with that, you saw Chris Diaz come home to score on the double play off of Eric Parker's bat. So then at the middle of the sixth inning, it's 8-0 Rafters. You know what? They've got the momentum. They're feeling good. Jack Obraski had a shutout frame. Well, he comes into the sixth, and he can't quite find that same momentum. He allows a single, a walk, a ground out, and then another walk, two RBI double, walk, and error before he's pulled from the game. And at that point, things have already gone very far south. It's an 8-3 ball game, and so Madison really showing that they've got the momentum. Well, the Rafters turn to Ashton Poole, and Poole, he did not get things to go his way. He allowed a walk with the bases loaded, another walk with the bases loaded, and then allowed the grand slam from Mikey Bell that sent home everyone and made it a 9-8 Madison lead. So they'd scored nine runs to that point. Then Ashton Poole walks the next batter, and he's pulled from the game, and they have to turn to Jafet Martinez. Martinez is able to work out of the frame, but before he does, he gets a fly out, a walk, an RBI single, and then another error in the inning, and an RBI double from Cooper Malamazian. And before Dom Jacoby struck out, they had put up 13 runs in the bottom of the sixth inning. So from being down 8-0, Madison came back and led 13-8 at the end of the sixth inning. So then the top of the seventh comes around. The Rafters do threaten with a walk, a single, and an error that they reach on with two outs. They load the bases, but they keep them all stranded on the fielder's choice. Bottom of the seventh comes around. Rafters trying to get something going their way, but Madison really puts it away. They score two runs in the bottom of the seventh thanks to the error on Brock Lillowitz's ball that was hit over to shortstop and couldn't be made the play on. And so another couple of runs come around to score, and it ended on Cole Kosciuszko's single that sent home Brock Lillowitz. So officially an RBI for him as Lillowitz came home to score on it. However, it was not the way that the Rafters wanted things to go. So it was a 15-8 game. And then in the eighth inning, both teams are shut out. Ninth inning comes around. The Rafters trying desperately to stay alive. They get a single from Nick Adrian, a single from J.J. Garcia, a strikeout, and then a single from Mason Onyade. And that loaded the bases for Matanaka, who had a sacrifice fly. But Eric Parker up at the plate with the last out, and that finished it off. So the Rafters couldn't quite get the win, and well, it is a very disappointing loss. The Rafters have now lost 8 in a row as they move to 7-17 on the season and really looking to turn things around. They have got to get it going, and they've got a chance again later tonight. They've dropped 3 against Madison, all 3 that they've played this season, trying to at least steal one. But they've got their tough task out for them. Looking at the box score at the way that things happen before we look ahead towards next game, Chris Diaz had himself a night. So did Mason Onyade. Diaz went 3-for-4 with 3 runs, an RBI, and 2 walks. Onyade went 3-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 walks of his own. Behind them, Akko walked twice, so he reached base a couple of times. Along with that, Eric Parker had 3 RBIs. Andre Madunio had 3 RBIs. Royce Clayton Jr. reached base 2 times. Nick Adrian, he reached base twice, and so did J.J. Garcia. So that's kind of looking back at the stats. On the pitching side, Drew Thompson, 4 scoreless innings. He allowed just 2 hits and 3 walks while striking out 3. And behind that, Jafet Martinez didn't allow an earned run over his 2/3 of an inning, but he did allow 3 unearned runs on 2 hits and 1 walk. Brent Gallegos looked pretty good at the end there. 2 innings pitched, 1 run. It was unearned on 1 hit, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. And that's a look back at all of the stats. The Rafters next up are going to be taking on Madison once again, 6:35 first pitch. And that'll be coming your way here on WFHR as well. Game number 26 of the year after this, and it'll be Noah Marschke on the mound for the Rafters as Brandon Cahill will take the rubber for the Madison Space Cows today. Well, at least that was a little bit fun. I got to make a couple of Space Cows references, and well, the Rafters offense, again, they showed those signs, those bright spots, but once more, the Rafters just can't close it out. So once again, final score 15-9. A big thank you to all of you for tuning in, and hope to have you tuning back in just about an hour and a half. We'll have the pregame show going live at 6:20 p.m. That'll be coming your way here on WFHR. First pitch, 6:35, but that's going to do it for this broadcast. So, for myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and have a great rest of your night.
Word of the hour that you can text in via the Civic Media app. Don't do it the old-fashioned way. Got to go get the app. You text in that word, and you will be registered to win 4 club-level Brewers tickets to the beautiful and amazing American Family Field here in Milwaukee. Today, in this very hour, we're giving away tickets for the game next Friday, June 27th, against the Colorado Rockies. First pitch being thrown at 7:10 p.m. And the word to win this Friday, text it in now, my friends, is pitch. You want to get there for the first pitch, P-I-T-C-H. The word is pitch. Full contesting rules, of course, available at civicmedia.us. And now with that fun business concluded, Terry, what you got for us this fine Friday afternoon?
I have this for you. Did you know there is a shrine, and I'm not kidding, it's called a shrine to all things dairy, and it is a national shrine. It's called the National Dairy Shrine, and it just happens to be in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. I was pretty sure to find this. incredible. It started in 1949. Oh. 20,000 people are now members of the National Dairy Shrine. And I recently had a chance to talk with the executive director. His name is Mike Upperman. And he had so much to say because, of course, it's June Dairy Month. Yes. But he's a little bit about how he explains what the Shrine is all about.
There's three pillars to our mission. The first is to inspire youth. So every year we give out scholarships to college students. We'll give out about 40 scholarships, just under $50,000 to college students who want to pursue a career in the dairy industry. And our second pillar is all about recognizing dairy leaders. So each year we recognize pioneers who have made significant contributions to the dairy industry. And our third pillar, which is heavily involved in Wisconsin, is we have a museum. And our third pillar is preserving the history of the dairy industry. Our museum is in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and it started in 1981. It really serves two different communities. As you might imagine, most of the people that come through the museum are unaware of the dairy industry. So they learn about how milk is made, how cows are cared for, where their cheese and ice cream and cottage cheese and everything comes from. But then it's also for those dairy farmers who want to come through and just see how dairy cows were managed 50 years ago. You know, so yeah, there's a lot of artifacts. There's a lot of history in the museum.
So the Shrine itself started in 1949, but the organizers of the Shrine realized people don't know enough about the dairy industry, thus the museum, which started in 82. Now, the museum... amazing, Maggie. They have some of the things that you stand and look at in awe and think, how did this work? They have one of the first butter churns where they would attach a dog to a little track and activate the butter churn.
I am now having visions of Finney churning butter for my consumption pleasure. My little dog, she loves herself a good run. She'd be a good butter churner, and she's so little too.
Awesome. Oh, she's kind of little for that though, isn't she? Yeah.
Oh, not commercial volume of butter, but maybe just a little. Did you ever do that when you were like in grade school growing up? I always wondered, was this a uniquely Wisconsin thing? We literally made butter in grade school by shaking cream. Now, that is a good gosh darn way to keep kids pretty occupied and tired out for the afternoon. I loved the churning of the butter.
Well, and it's so great because that's like one of the old things they have, but so much more too. Old milking equipment. Yes. And again, it's things you look at and go, how did that actually work at one time? But we know it did because dairy farming has been around forever.
It's America's dairyland. Yeah. Things that make you go, about really old-timey dairy production. Okay, Terry, I've got a question for you.
Oh, no.
Swiss or cheddar?
Oh, I think if I'm in a pinch, I really have to go with cheddar.
So I am a Swiss miss, I have to say. I grew all the Sammies growing up, my sandwiches were big on the Swiss. My mom is a big Swiss fan. In fact, my go-to snack, this will tell you how Wisconsin I am, is basically like a piece of salami and a piece of Swiss cheese. Like roll that up. When you have no time for anything else, I can always get a piece of salami and a piece of Swiss cheese. Delicious. Now, is cheddar your favorite cheese, or do you have another that tops your list?
It is, but when they sometimes will offer you a sandwich with multiple choices, sometimes I'll ask, can I have all the cheese,
Terry is a D, all of the above. I will take all of the cheeses. I think that is a wise, wise approach. It is June. It is Dairy Month. She is Terry Barr, my colleague here at Civic Media. She's here with us every Friday afternoon to bring you what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Thanks so much, Terry. Have a fabulous weekend.
You as well, Maggie. See you later, everybody.
Take care, y'all. We'll be back after the top of the hour break, after these brief messages right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with more fun on the other side. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says Israel may not have the might to kill Iran's nuclear program without powerful bunker busters.
They really have a very limited capacity. They can break through a little section, but they can't go down very deep. They don't have that capacity. And we'll have to see what happens. Maybe it won't be necessary.
The pro-Palestinian Columbia student detained by ICE will be released tonight. CBS's Linda Kenyon says the Trump administration will appeal a judge's order.
A White House spokesperson responded, quote, Mahmoud Khalil was given the privilege of coming to America to study on a student visa he obtained by fraud and misrepresentation.
Extreme heat on this first summer weekend. Camp counselor Millie Ennis is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
It is really hot. Try to make the most of it, like try to make all the kids happy and just remember to keep them all hydrated, because we don't want them to get super crabby, and we just want them to have fun at camp, even though it's super hot out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
You can always